Good evening, Zimbabwe. It's 17 hours 20 UTC, 7:20 p.m. in Zimbabwe on Sunday, March 30th, 2014. You are listening to Studio 7 live from the Voice of America in Washington. Thank you for joining us this Sunday evening live from Washington. This is Sandra Nyaira. Among our top stories this evening, the Media Institute of Southern Africa and Information Minister Jonathan Moyo say there's an urgent need to depoliticize Zimbabwe's media landscape.
What has been the problem is that we've narrowed the Zimbabwean story and made it look like it's political. It is not true that everyone wants politics.
South Sudan calls on Harare to protect its oil fields, which are increasingly under threat from rebel forces.
People in Harare are assured of a world-class city if we've got a world-class government. We don't operate in a vacuum.
And financial constraints hamper Harare's efforts to reach international standards by 2025. Polarity has over the past decade largely affected the Zimbabwean society, with the media reflecting political differences in the country. Many in the country agreed on the need to depoliticize the media. MISA Zimbabwe's National Director Nhlanhla Ngwenya agrees with Information Minister Jonathan Moyo on the need to depoliticize the media, as recommended in the findings of a study conducted by the Media Watchdog Group. Moyo officiated at the end of the week at the launch of MISA Zimbabwe's findings into communities' access to and perceptions on the Zimbabwean media, and condemned newspaper columnists that attack fellow media practitioners, saying this contributed to polarization. Moyo said the media should be seen to be reaching out among themselves, adding that MISA Zimbabwe should thus play a media mediating role in bridging that gap. The research was conducted in October to December 2013 to gauge the forms of media some communities accessed for information and their thoughts on the quality of information they accessed. It also looked into priority areas in developing the media and enhancing access to information in marginalized areas. Discussions with members of the public of the perspective communities of about 522 people were held in Gokwe, Rusape, Ibikita, Lalapanzi, Domboshava, Mondoro, Chitungwiza, Chipinge, Slowela, Ntabazinduna, Cholocho, Victoria Falls, St. Peter's, just outside Bulawayo, Umzinyati, Binga, and Mutoko. Reporter Jonga Kandemiri reached out to MISA Zimbabwe's Nhlanhla Ngwenya.
But when it came to news, Studio 7 was a strong competitor and a strong rival for Radio Zimbabwe. And so for us, it shows that radio is still an indispensable means of communication and source of information in rural communities.
We also understand that the Minister of Information, Media and Broadcasting Services, Professor Jonathan Moyo, implored your organization to be the lead mediating organization in depolarizing the Zimbabwean media landscape. How do you view this as MISA?
It's actually a welcome development, and I think for us, we think it's long overdue for government to recognize our role in Zimbabwe with regards to media. For us to be labeled as one of those regime change agents was quite shocking, because MISA was established well before the heated contestation for power between the main political parties in Zimbabwe. And for Jonathan Moyo to agree and accept that MISA should be a mediating organization is in itself a vindication of our loyalty and our convictions around media freedom and the need to protect freedom of expression and diversity of opinion in our landscape.
In your findings, you recommended that there was a need to depoliticize the media. What did the minister say about this?
He even said himself, and I quote, that we are going to adopt the word depoliticization from this report, from the minister's position, because we also believe that there is need for the coverage of a full spectrum of Zimbabwean life. What has been the problem is that we've narrowed the Zimbabwean story and made it look like it's political. It is not true that everyone wants politics, which is why I personally think, or we as MISA think, that HMETO right now is still surviving because Zimbabweans are tired of political stories day in, day out, both from the state-controlled media and the privately controlled media. So he even said himself, the word depoliticization is going to be our buzzword. As a ministry, as a government, we are going to take it from you guys.
That was Mr. Zimbabwe's National Director Nhlanhla Ngwenya on the line from Harare with Jonga Kandemiri, speaking about MISA's survey that showed that Studio 7 is at the top of all media houses in Zimbabwe in giving people, especially in the rural areas, the news they really want to hear. Thank you so much and continue listening to Studio 7. We will thrive to do our best. South Sudan has called on Zimbabwe to join the proposed East African Regional Group's Intergovernmental Authority, IGAD, in protecting its oil fields, which are increasingly under threat from rebel forces. State-owned Sudan Television said this week, quoting Foreign Affairs Minister Barnaba Mariao Benjamin. Benjamin, who represented South Sudan in Harare for a long time before the official creation of the state, also called on President Robert Mugabe to participate in the inclusive dialogue talks which seek to bring peace between warring factions in South Sudan. Violence erupted in South Sudan after a section of the presidential guards supporting former Vice President Riek Machar attempted to topple President Salva Kiir in 2013. We reached out to Acting Director Joy Mabenge of the Crisis in Zimbabwe Coalition for analysis.
I think the question that we all ask is if South Sudan is calling on the military from Zimbabwe to go and protect their oil fields, all we think of as analysts is to flash back and think of what happened in the Democratic Republic of Congo under Operation Sovereign Legitimacy, where the Zimbabwean army intervened in the DRC. And we hear that as they intervened in the DRC, there was a lot of pillaging. There was a lot of exploitation of mineral resources from the DRC, but also that process in itself, that operation in itself, cost the government of Zimbabwe quite some millions of dollars. In fact, it was estimated at some point that on a daily basis, where the government was highly bankrupt, they were spending not less than $2 million on a daily basis for the upkeep of these military men and women who were in the DRC. So we are at a point when the economy is bleeding. We're at a point when the economy cannot sustain even its own civil servants. It's a huge civil service that gobbles more than 75% of the revenue. And we do not understand why, even if they were to be invited, the government of Zimbabwe would admit to sending its army to Southern Sudan unless there are underhand dealings that come with that kind of operation. Otherwise, there is no logic whatsoever for Zimbabwe to intervene in Southern Sudan. After all, we understand that there is a military operation that is already there, that is backed by a number of countries. And I think it is sufficient for Southern Sudan to rely solely on that operation, which is also recognized internationally.
Mr. Mabenge, the Foreign Affairs Minister of South Sudan, Mr. Barnaba Mariao Benjamin, is inviting President Robert Mugabe to participate in the inclusive political dialogue that is bringing the warring factions in South Sudan together, which is taking place in Pretoria, South Africa, to play a role in ensuring that, you know, peace prevails in this country. What role do you think President Mugabe has or can play in this political dialogue?
Well, President Mugabe has no role to play and must not have any role to play. We know that he's graduating in senior statesman, but here is the catch. He is presiding over a system, a government that is viewed as sitting uncomfortably with legitimacy question because there are accusations from some electoral observer missions that observed the July 31 election that the election was heavily manipulated in favor of President Mugabe. So President Mugabe would not have the moral high ground to go and participate in mediation processes that are aimed at resolving a crisis and a conflict before he even has his own crisis and his own conflict in his own country resolved.
Acting Director Joy Mabenge of the Crisis in Zimbabwe Coalition on the line from Harare. Harare Mayor Bernard Manyenyeni says the former Sunshine City is unlikely to meet the International Vision 2025 benchmarks set for all cities in the world, in particular those in developing countries, to meet as they seek to offer better services to residents and visitors. Harare has been vulnerable and unable over the past years to provide basic amenities, with residents complaining that despite paying rates, the city continues to prioritize salaries for senior managers and foreign travel at the expense of service delivery. Manyenyeni, in an interview with Studio 7 reporter Jonga Kandemiri, blames the government's lack of commitment to helping the local authority and lack of resources.
The projects are being assessed and we assess them honestly and frankly. My view is that we must look at the ingredients to deliver the 2025 vision and their probabilities. I am saying the key ingredients are a world-class government, a world-class elected council, a world-class management team, world-class residents, and world-class systems of operating or running council business. You can rate each one of those and say, give it a percentage and say, what is the quality of our systems, what is the quality of our government, councillors, residents, to deliver a world-class city.
What are the tools for success for the vision?
All those working together, working correctly, removing inertia and lethargy, removing self-interest, removing corruption, and they all generally to have as many of those key components working towards that same goal as possible. It's no use having quality councillors, non-performing residents. It all comes together if all the ingredients are at play and are operating and working in the same direction.
And their weaknesses?
Again, for council, I dare say council operates in the whole context of Zimbabwe. People in Harare are assured of a world-class city if we've got a world-class government. We don't operate in a vacuum. If Zimbabwe comes right, there's an increased probability that the city will come right.
That was Harare Mayor Bernard Manyenyeni on the line with Studio 7 reporter Jonga Kandemiri. Still with local authorities, the Mashingo Residents Trust is on a drive to clean up the town, citing council's failure to collect garbage and provide other essential services. The trust recently organized a cleanup exercise after teaming up with K International to organize people in the area, as piling garbage was said to be now a major cause for concern. We spoke with Mashingo Residents Trust Program Manager Prosper Tiringindi.
It's an indicator of a poor service delivery from Mashingo City Council. So us, as the Mashingo Resident Trust, we want to make sure that Mashingo, it must be a nice choice of town that everybody admire to be in Mashingo. So this program of cleaning up campaign that really helps the health of the people in Mashingo, because we are now seeing the people in Mashingo, they are now using the drainage system to dump refuse, which is very hazardous to health, and also failing to implement the rights of children. The children must have a right to health. So we are now seeing people that are now failing to implement the children's rights. So we are seeing the cleanup campaign is a program that must be run in all hours in Mashingo.
I understand that you have teamed up in this program with K International Organization. Did you also receive enough support from Mashingo residents themselves coming to join you as a trust to clean up?
This program is the powerful is there for the impact in town, because the residents are very happy about this program, and the residents of Mashingo, they are now seeing a change through Mashingo Resident Trust, because we are talking the issues that are affecting the residents of Mashingo. This week, we launched the issue of cleanup campaign as Mashingo Resident Trust and the K International. It's an issue of refuse collection. It's a serious issue in Mashingo. So it has got support, because the residents are complaining about Mashingo City Council, which is failing to come to collect things in time. We are seeing now house flies in the Jagosi. Outbreak of house flies is now affecting the residents, and the residents are complaining. So Mashingo Resident Trust and the ideas of cleanup campaign, all the residents are buying this idea.
Mashingo Residents Trust Programs Manager Prosper Tiringindi. This is Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington. We are going out to you on the 4930-12080 and 15775 shortwave frequencies, and on the 90909 medium wave or AM frequency. And now we go to the Youth Forum with Tatenda Gumbo.
You are now listening to The Youth Firm, your firm focusing on your issues today. I'm gladly joined by Masimba Nyambahindi, who is an alumni of the Young African Leaders Initiative, which he participated in 2010. Masimba, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you, Virginia.
Can you tell me more about your experience when you were here with YALI?
Well, it was an awesome experience, I should say. Obviously, I think a lifetime opportunity to see President Obama personally at the White House, as well as the Secretary of Research by then, Hillary Clinton. So basically, besides being a leadership forum, it was a time and it was an experience for network and exchange.
That was going to be my next question, Masimba. I've had the privilege of talking to some of your other counterparts from Zimbabwe who were part of YALI, and their main thing was saying the exchange that they had with other youths from different countries was wonderful.
I think that's the most important aspect, besides leadership and the knowledge and skills that you acquire in terms of having those leadership forums. But the most important aspect is exchange, because we develop ourselves through experiences and lessons that we learn from other people. Although we come from different parts of the world, but I think our lived realities are more or less the same. But how we approach those lived realities is different. So basically, it was a good experience getting to learn more about other people and how they approach their challenges.
What has happened to you since you did YALI? I know, of course, from speaking to you over the years, you've done some wonderful things, but can you tell our audience what are some of the things you've done?
Yeah, basically, I think since you came from YALI, we've had a lot of speaking tours as people who have participated in the YALI program. So those speaking tours have been generally about the challenges facing youth and how best you can overcome those challenges. Then secondly, just to maintain that network that we developed in Washington, just last year, we were in South Africa Center. We were meeting as alumni of the YALI program, further diversifying and learning about each other and developing exchange plans that we can develop and adopt as we try to develop ourselves into future leaders. If we don't pass on what we gained when we went for the fellowship, then it doesn't pass for anything. So basically trying to influence and connect with other young leaders back in Zimbabwe and other youth leaders back in Zimbabwe.
Masimba, thank you so much for joining me on the Youth Forum, and it was great getting a chance to chat with you again after a long time.
Thank you, Tatiana.
Hey, what's up? This is Sisi Yanti. You're listening to the Youth Forum with Tatenda Gubo. Sisi Yanti, Gigi Lamay. Mixmasters, here we go. Ramba uji pusha, iwe ramba uji paya, iwe paka paka pressure.
I also had the privilege this week of speaking to another participant of these youth forums that are being done here in Washington, D.C. He was a gentleman who sat on a panel organized by United States Congresswoman Karen Bass. Check out what he had to say.
My name is Manasseh Fatonzo. It's a very huge opportunity to be here and learning from the American democracy. When we go back into our country, we're going to share it with the youth so that we can impress positively change in our countries.
You spoke a lot about change and the Africa evolving. What do you think that as young people, even now, they can do to change their situation in their countries?
First, it's about talking about the problems they're observing and in their communities. Talking and trying to organize themselves. They may be two, they may be three, but organize themselves and think how they can do for solving those problems.
Some countries' youths have issues where they're politically swayed. How can we change that issue?
Yes, it's a serious issue. I think that, as I said it, we need to meet and exchange for realizing that using our energy negatively is not good for our continent, it's not good for our country, and it's not good for ourselves.
Join me next week as we continue our conversation with Zimbabweans who participated in the Young African Leaders Initiative under President Obama. This is Tatenda Gumbo, and make sure you join me next time.
At
Thank you, Tatenda. Unfortunately, time is not on our side. That's all we had for you tonight from the English Bulletin. Now it's over to Standekile Mhlanga with the Ndebele News. This is Sandra Nyaira in Washington, wishing you a pleasant evening, a very good night, and now over to Standekile Mhlanga with the Ndebele News. This is Sandra Nyaira in Washington, wishing you a pleasant evening, a very good night, and